Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Robin L. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Maryland. Today is Wednesday, August 5th, 2026. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous and we are at page 55, beginning with the fifth paragraph, which reads, "In this book you will read," and then we'll be reading two paragraphs today, ending on page 56 at the end of the first paragraph, which brought him to the point of self-destruction. Today's readers, the readers of the text will be Michelle A.C. will get us started, Leslie M. will do our closing, and Ann S.C.H. will be our backup reader. Susan G. will read the 12 steps, and Joanne L. will read the 12 traditions. The reference number for yesterday, Tuesday, August 4th, for the 10 a.m. meeting is 23,692. That's 23,692. And for today's 7 a.m. meeting is 23,699. 23,699. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Step Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Susan G. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, Robin. Hi, everybody. Susan G., recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 steps of OA are, 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me give service. Thanks.
Thank you, Susan G. And I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, and I believe your name is Robin. Thank you for your service today. My name is Joanne L., and I am from Rhode Island, and I'm recovered. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lease problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you very much, and I pass.
Thank you, Joanne L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. And once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book with two paragraphs, beginning on page 55 at the bottom. That's the fifth paragraph, and it starts with, in this book you will read, through the first paragraph on page 56, ending with, brought him to the point of self-destruction. I will now ask Michelle A.C. to begin reading.
Thank you. Good morning. This is Michelle A.C., gratefully recovered in Boulder, Colorado. In this book, you will read the experience of a man who thought he was an atheist. His story is so interesting that some of it should be told now. His change of heart was dramatic, convincing, and moving. Our friend was a minister's son. He attended church school, where he became rebellious at what he thought an overdose of religious education. For years thereafter, he was dogged by trouble and frustration, business failure, insanity, fatal illness, suicide. These calamities in his immediate family embittered and depressed him. Post-war disillusionment, ever more serious alcoholism, impending mental and physical collapse brought him to the point of self-destruction. So I love the Big Book partially because it forces me to look things up. And I have a 1938 dictionary so that I can look things up and see what the people who wrote the Big Book, the words meant at the time, because they mean something really different now. So yesterday I got really interested in looking up atheist and agnostic. Because we're talking about the agnostic in this, but this guy is an atheist. So, and if you want to hear the whole description, my number is on the member list because I'm not going to go into it here, but find me. So being agnostic is a philosophical arguing position. It's an argument. And being an atheist is a belief system. That's what it boils down to. And so don't want to be in the debating society anymore, right? They're inviting us to not be agnostic anymore because we shouldn't be debating whether or not it's possible to know God. And that's what agnosticism is debating. It's not possible to know God. It's just not possible to know that. So we can't get into that. And I think when we do steps 1, 2, and 3, at least for me, the idea of whether or not I can understand God goes away. But I'm left with this idea of, can I know some physical internal experience, right? Closer to me than my own breathing. They say, you know, the deep down within us was, you know, one of the paragraphs we just read. Can I know that there is a presence of some loving power? Atheists believe that too, right? And I have a good friend in program who's an atheist, and we spend a lot of time talking. And interestingly to me, I have a lot in common with an atheist, and I am a God person. I came in a God person. I am still a God person. And yet this idea that there's been this transformative experience when we follow the directions in the big book is something that atheists and theists can agree on, not so much the agnostic. So I'm really interested, I think, in the consciousness and the experience and the stories we can tell each other about what that experience means and does in our lives, which is why our meeting so wisely tells us to talk about what the directions mean to us, not to talk to each other about what God is supposed to be. So, you know, I think the other thing that I've been thinking about a lot because of this paragraph is this idea that, you know, it's almost impossible for us to explain to somebody like what's going on inside of us. We have to tell our story. And that's why we get all these stories throughout the big book, because the stories lead us on a journey that gives us a felt experience. And I get that every time I do an outreach call or talk to somebody. We don't necessarily say, here's what God means to me. Let me describe it to you in a 15 bullet point plan. It's more like this crazy thing happened to me today. Was present with me, or divine love was present, or my higher self or my values were present with me today, and I was able to do something I couldn't have done before.
I'm
abstinent. I'll stop there. Thank you, Robin. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Michelle AC. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So I'm ready to take a list of names. Who else? Who would like to comment on these two paragraphs today?
Freya H.
Freya. Anyone else? Okay, Freya, go ahead and get us started, please. Let us know where you're calling from.
Oh, thank you so much. Assuming I can be heard, my name's Freya H. Really grateful, recovered.
Freya,
and opening up my. Oh,
there you go. There you go.
Am I back? Okay. Sorry. Let's see. Sorry, I'm just getting to the page here. All right. I listened to some of the earlier meeting, and a lot of people were sharing about their. You know, their experience growing up with religion, and read a couple paragraphs of this man's story in this book and hearing other people's experience and thinking about my own experience, it became very, very clear that exposure to religion or what kind of religion or, you know, like that, all that stuff really doesn't matter. That's not what makes or breaks whether we find this relationship with God. And my, you know, my take on it is that God's bigger than that. You know, God is going to work in our lives no matter what. And we may have been given, you know, all the most wonderful things about God, and we still need to go through our own journey, every single one of us. And it makes me think about, you know, how, you know, we are addicts because we're addicts. You know, it's not like, oh, if our parents had done things differently or we were born into a different geographical area or social class or something, and maybe wouldn't be addicts. Every one of us has to and gets to embark on our own spiritual journey in finding God through whatever circumstances. So God is bigger than, you know, God's bigger than all that stuff. And that this story is telling us about a man who experienced some really bad stuff, you know, business failure, insanity, fatal illness, suicide, you know, and the war, just all that stuff. It's bad stuff. But if I conclude that the fact that there's calamity in life means that there's no God or that God doesn't care about me or my loved ones, that's where I'm off the beam. And that I do believe that life is life and that God is present in all of it. You know, so that's what comes to mind when I'm hearing this paragraph, and I love hearing other people's, you know, understandings of atheism and agnosticism and all of that questioning of where am I today? you know, am I behaving as an agnostic? Am I still trying to figure God out? Or am I feel like this program, and I'll wrap with this, this program is so good at encouraging me to ask the questions, but don't get stuck asking the question, and instead just try it out. What if God were everything in my life? What would that feel like? Can I try that today? Can I apply that to some of the situations that I find difficult? So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Freya H. in Colorado. Who else would like to comment today on the two paragraphs we're studying?
Rebecca S., Colorado.
Rebecca.
Diana Y., Philly.
Diana.
Jody.
Was that Jody?
Jody E., yes. Uh-huh. California.
Gotcha. Okay.
Jordan L.
Jordan?
Roz G.
Yep,
Jordan. Roz. Thank you. Roz, got you.
Bruce
Anyone
E.
Anyone else? Bruce?
Bruce E. Thank you.
Okay, so far I have Rebecca, Diana, Jody, Jordan, Roz, Bruce. Did I miss anyone? All right, this is a great lineup. We'll start here. Rebecca S. in Colorado. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Rebecca S., Colorado, gratefully recovering. I previewed some of these paragraphs at the beginning of the week and thought, boy, I don't know. How's that going to land with my morning as I'm getting ready for work? Because I'm an atheist. And a couple of days ago, I might have said I was an agnostic, but that lead helped me clarify that I have some strong beliefs in some values, and they are amazing to get to reference and think about and research and investigate and apply in my daily life. And I don't want to debate. I can tell you as an atheist, I'm tired of debating. So I don't even need to say I'm agnostic because I have a belief system and it really works for me and it has me engaged in my 12-step recovery like never before. And it's also really important that I have conversations about some paragraphs in the big book. And I really like the big book because I can take it at whatever level I feel like taking it. And the stories are for reference, are illustrative. And I already got what I needed a few paragraphs ago. Deep down, I have beliefs, and that's the important thing. And that's a place to start, and that's a place I'm really happy. So I guess I'll end with, I am grateful that the path is wide, and I love talking to interested, open-minded people about principles and discussing paragraphs in the big book. And this meeting is really great for that. And I look forward to hearing more shares about this experience. Thanks. Pass.
Thank you, Rebecca S. in Colorado. And next we have Diana Y., followed by Jody E. Come on in, Diana. Let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, I'm Diana. I am a sugar addict. And, you know, the calamity, all the calamity that he experienced, I did not experience those calamities, but what I experienced was as powerful to me as what he experienced. I did not know how to live my life. I was extremely negative person. I grew up that way from my parents. I had very low self-esteem. And I knew that I was not as good as other people. And I remember specifically one thing. I'm from LA, that I didn't even feel worthy to walk around in Beverly Hills when I was, you know, in my late teens, 20s maybe. And I have so many stories just like that. And it just continued to spiral down for me, my life. And I had no idea what to do with it. When I got to program, I was unwilling to get a higher power for many, many, many years. I've been in program very long time, because I wanted to do it myself. I knew that if I tried hard enough that I could get what everybody else was getting. And it was only 11 and a half years ago when I stopped fighting and did what the big book said to do, which was to get a higher power. And I got abstinent after asking whoever was out there that to help me. And now I have a beautiful God that I talk to every day. And I recognize all the things that God puts in my life today, my gratitude. I send gratitudes to my sponsor every day. I want to make sure that what happens in my life is through God. And God puts miracles in my life. So many miracles. And I'm so grateful that I could share. Thank you.
Diana, where are you calling from?
Oh, I'm calling from Philly.
Philly, PA. Okay, great. From Pennsylvania. Diana Y., thanks for sharing. Next, we have Jody E. in California.
Thank you, Robin. Good morning, everyone. My name is Jody E. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in California. This is a heady subject we're talking about today. Thank you to the lead share and the shares afterwards. So I'm not a philosopher. I'm not a this is more philosophy than psychology. This is theology. I'm not sure what the term is exactly, but it's something that I've never really delved into too much, probably because I just always believed. I accepted my childhood teaching that there was a God, but that didn't mean that I had a relationship with God. I did have some trauma and calamity in my life as a child. I lost my mother to suicide. But that didn't make me think there is no God. Perhaps because in some ways that was a spiritual experience. Because when she died, I had this knowing, this feeling, this knowing that she was at peace. She had suffered greatly in life, and I knew she was at peace. I was only 12 years old. So in a way, it was a spiritual experience. So I've always had faith, but have I always acted like I had faith? No. It's so true that faith alone avails us nothing. Faith without works is dead. I had to go from acting like an agnostic to living as a believer. And what that means to me is that I do what I believe God would have me do. I try to be what I believe God would have me be. And God gives me the courage to do that. Because without my reliance on God, I do not have that courage. I have a lot of fears. I might think I know what God would have me be or do, but I don't have the courage to do it unless I walk with God in courage. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Jody E. in California. And next we have Jordan L. And let us know where you're calling from.
Hey, good morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. I'm very grateful to be on a meeting this morning. An abstinent. Thank you for moderating. I'm getting ready for work, so I'm going to make this quick. I love the share so far. I love what folks are talking about. I love that there's a lot of Colorado on the line this morning. And I guess what I was thinking about is this sentiment that it really doesn't matter what I believe. And I know that's kind of like hard to hear and weird because everywhere else you go these days, it is so important what you believe and what group you're a part of and all that stuff, right? And so, there's something, truly spiritual about that, that here in this 12-step program of ours, it really doesn't matter what you believe. What's important is relationship. Like, that is at the heart of all of this, right? Relationship with other compulsive overeaters and relationship with a power greater than yourself, whatever that power is, right? And for me, early on in recovery, it was really important that I developed a new relationship with reality itself. A couple paragraphs back, it called this power the great reality, you know? And I can relate to that. I can also relate to what this guy is talking about here as far as life circumstances embittering and depressing him. I think all of us can relate to that on a very real level. And so when I came in, that was part of it, developing a new relationship with reality, being able to accept where I was at and the way that things are, you know? And really, in developing a relationship with a power greater than myself, prayer and meditation helped me to realign that thinking. I think the most common thought I had prior to recovery was, this should be different, whatever it was, you know, this should be different. My weight should be different. I shouldn't be fat. I should be skinny. I shouldn't have these problems in my life with my boyfriend or with my boss or at work or whatever. And so prayer and meditation helped me change that thinking, you know, like this relationship with the God in my understanding helped change my mind. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Jordan L. in Colorado. And next we have Roz G. Come on in. Let us know where you're calling from, please.
Hello, my name is Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm calling from Palmdale, California. And so I'm going to turn off my fan because it makes a noise. Okay, there we go. All right, so I just want to say that, you know, I come from a stance of a believer in Christian scripture, but I have to say that all of my knowledge about that never helped me in my compulsive overeating disease. I just practiced my disease there more than anything. I ate more with the believers. That was our fellowship, was mostly eating first and then other things.
but I always made sure that I was a part of the eating, no matter if I had already eaten or not. And recently, bringing my recovery to today, I've had a resentment for a long time that I thought that I was rid of, but I'm not. And there's some things that I need to do, some actions that I need to take to help me to be rid of this resentment. And they are work related, and they are talking to people about things, not confronting people, but talking about some things that I've experienced that I don't understand. And in order to have an understanding, I need to talk to some people and ask some questions. And I have been dealing with this for years. And what I've learned through this recent four-step inventory is that I'm not trusting God enough to go and talk. I am using pride and ego and busyness to keep me from doing it. And to me, that's a form of disbelief. So while I don't think I'm an atheist, sometimes my feet behave like one. And I have taken the action and requested an appointment to speak to a person to ask some questions about some things that I don't understand, instead of just pretending like it doesn't bother me. And to me, that's an act of faith. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Roz G. in California. And next we have Bruce E. Please share with us. Let us know where you're calling from.
Yeah, good morning. Excuse me. I'm Bruce E. I'm in Southwest Florida, way down the bottom of Florida on the left-hand side, if you look at a map, around Fort Myers area. Let's see, I'm recovering compulsive overeater. Man, this is great shares today, and like every day, and great reading. So I got a lot to say about this, but I can relate a lot to this. The business failure, yeah, I relate to that. The insanity, yes, absolutely. Food addiction is really a sickness. The active part of it. Fatal illness. Suicide, I thought about that. I had everything but physical collapse. I was going through everything. Had an experience. Had a spiritual experience, kind of like what Bill had in the hospital room. And became a believer, Christian believer. And like I've heard... Excuse me. Like I've heard earlier, I tried the church model, and it didn't work. And that was, you know, trying to do it through church, trying to get rid of this food addiction through church. But that didn't work for me. And that's all right. So I got into, God loved me so much, he got me right into OA, right into Vision. And here I am. And so I'm abstinent now. I'm not overeating today. So I did have an overdose of religious education when I was growing up. I thought, you know, I didn't have much of it. My mom took me to the Lutheran church, but I didn't get much of it. But I got enough of it to where I said I was like the guy in the story. I didn't want to darken the doors of a church for the rest of my life, you know. And I went about 20 years or 30 years without doing that. And so I finally returned to the, you know, faith of my childhood, but that was awesome. But it didn't get me sober, you know. What got me sober was coming into this fellowship. This is what worked for me. And I had to come in, get a sponsor, and start working through the steps, you know. And I'm still doing, reading the big book with fellowship, one of the members of the fellowship. And so I'm still trying to get more of this big book. But all my life I was an atheist, you know, until I had
time.
spiritual experience. Thank you. And thanks again. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Bruce E. in Florida. I can take more names now. Who else would like to comment? We are, again, at the bottom of page 55, that last paragraph, going through the first paragraph at the top of page 56 in the big book. Who else would like to comment?
Tara L.
Was that Sarah?
Tara K.
Tara. Oh, gotcha. Thank you, Tara L.
Lori T., California.
Lori. Anyone else? Okay, Kara L., please come in. Let us know where you're calling from, Chair.
Thanks, Robin. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. And I do love this reading, and I do love what I've heard today about, you know, agnostic and atheist. And I will tell you, I came in saying there is a higher power, but that higher power is not going to be involved in my life, right? There was a higher power of the celestial, but not higher power of a personal, right? And I will say today, you know, like, had some ups and downs the last couple weeks, months, and, you know, I've been struggling. And the one thing that a fellow said to me yesterday was, like, just keep talking to your higher power. You know, even if you're mad, it's okay to tell them how mad you are. And that was, for me, you know, I don't want to lose the conscious contact that I worked so hard for, that I get up in the morning and meditate and pray and do inventories and go to meetings. It's also, I can have that conscious contact. So, yeah, my higher power today gets to me. My higher power already knows when I'm upset. So I'm not hiding anything if I think I am. But today I get to walk through the world with honesty, and especially with my higher power, and just sharing those feelings and saying, you know, I'm angry at you. I'm sad today. This is wonderful. Thank you. You know, all of those things in the day. And my day might be my day, but somehow it all feels a little bit more manageable to share that with my higher power. And that for me today is belief, just being honest with a power greater than myself. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Kara L. in California. Next, we have Lori T., also in California. Come on in, Lori.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. Thanks for being of service to all those that are of service. So we're at the end of page 55, last paragraph, and 56, right?
Yes, first beginning of 56.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So I was brought up as a Catholic, not for very long because, I don't know, my mother eventually became an atheist. When she died, I remember softly talking to her about her beliefs as a child, because she was such an adamant atheist. And she told me that I was making her nervous. So that was strange. But watching her die, laying on the hospital table, I was actually able to see her essence of her leave her body, and there was nothing left. I touched her skin, I observed her body, and thought, you know, her spirit's gone, that we are just mere mortals living in a body that's definitely not ours forever. We will eventually should leave our body behind, and in my case, I know I will go to heaven. But the same thing happened to other people. Like, my brother died of an OD with a needle in his arm, and that was pretty traumatic because I was pretty close to him, and that was just like 3 years ago. but I believe that God took him because his life had become so painful it was difficult to talk to him, the brother I used to know, and he became very paranoid from the drugs he was using. But I had no idea he was intravenously, you know, using drugs. And then my sister started with her food addiction and got completely obese along with her drug use. And so that was painful to watch. And so I just don't watch anymore. I don't talk to her because I can't. For my own recovery, it doesn't work. And plus, she thinks I'm like the devil. So she says obscene things to me. But I believe God is working in every situation all the time. I may not, like my feet might not act like it, like my actions may not act like that, but deep down I really believe that God is there all the time. Like he never leaves me. And I get such great comfort from that. Turning to him when I have a craving, turning to other people who speak to me as though God was speaking to me. It seems like I always hear what I need to hear, and I was hearing the message several days in a row. Okay, I'm nervous. I can't remember the message, but okay, thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Lori T. in California. Okay, who else would like to share today on the two paragraphs we're studying?
Doreen N.
Doreen, got you. Anyone else? I'll put myself on the list too. Okay, Doreen, come on in. Let us know where you're calling from, please. Doreen, you may need to star one to unmute.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, go right ahead.
All right, Doreen from Texas. You know, I've been having a really, really tough time, and I'm not going to say it's my fault. It's the disease. I have not been reaching out to God. And what that does is get me in the food, and that's where I've been. And yesterday I had so many donuts, like 7 donuts, that I passed out, had a sugar coma, and slept for 6 hours. God doesn't want me to do that. He does not want me to do that. He wants me to reach out my hand and pull me and say to me, hey, Doreen, I got you. I got you. You may not believe that right now, but after this, you believe. Because this is painful. Relapse after relapse after relapse. I go to the places, I guess I'm the hopeless variety of compulsive overeater because I can't seem to stop. But I don't reach out. I don't pray. I just get resentful at God. It's like, you know, why the heck in the world did I get stuck with this disease? And that's a really bad attitude to have, but I got to have an attitude of gratitude. Don't know how to change that around, but I'm going to reach out for fellows today instead of reaching out for something that I could buy by the dozen. And it's painful. It's gut-wrenchingly painful. And in 5 days, I gained 7 pounds. This goes to show you the extent to which I was in my disease. So for today, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but for today, I'm not picking them up. I am making my abstinent food while I am here at this meeting, and I ask that this food be enough and that I reach out to fellows and, most of all, reach out to God and write a letter to him as to why I'm suffering so much. But the suffering and the torture of this disease is unbearable. I've had it before. I'm a chronic relapser. I'm over it. I'm tired. I'm weary. I'm beat down. That's where I'm at. But again, I have to reach out for a power. He's there. I know he's there. But I have not sought him. And I want to, because the suffering and torture has got to end. I have no control over it. I have no control over the disease, but God can help me. Pass.
Thank you, Doreen N. in Texas. Okay, we still have time for at least one more share, if not two quick ones. Who else would like to comment today? We're on the bottom of page 55, top of page 56.
Hi, it's Diana Y. I already shared, but I have a question. How do you get people's phone numbers and others get your phone number?
Through the A Vision For You website and the member list there. Are you familiar with that?
I'm familiar with the website, so I'll just have to search.
Right. The tabs at the top have members, and then you go and register there, your information, and then you'll have the others available to you. You'll be able to see them.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. All right.
She can also put her name out at the end of the meeting.
All right. Thank you. Who else would like to comment today? We have time for one more person.
Darian K.
All right. I heard the last initial K, but I didn't get the first name. Was it Marion or Darian?
Oh, Darian with a D.
Mm-hmm. All right. Why don't you go ahead and share with us? Let us know your time.
Oh, thank you. I'm Darian Kay. I'm in the Berkshires in Massachusetts, and very grateful to be on this meeting, getting my injection of experience, strength, hope, where people have been, where I could be, but for the grace of God, thank you. Thank you for sharing your honesty and sharing from your heart. And, you know, for me, I kind of grew up with a God, not really, just sort of. It all ended sort of when I was 13, and, you know, I'm from the Jewish religion, so when I was done with all that, my religion really didn't do it for me, except when things were going really bad, and then I would look up in the skies, and I would say, God, help me, I don't know, find a boyfriend, help me, you know, important things when you're younger. Or you know, why did this happen? Why did this one die? Or why did something happen so tragic in the world? And I never got my answer, right? I never really did get my answer. It was just the way it was at that moment. For me, you know, I really see God in others, and I see God in nature, and I see God just working in my life. I've been in program almost 40 years, God willing, in September. And, you know, I wake up in the morning willing to put my food on a scale and work this program another day. That is not me. I don't have that track record in the past. So
I'm free.
I really, thank you. I really believe that, you know, a higher power of some kind is orchestrating my life and giving me the harmony and peace and serenity that I have today. So thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Darian. You'll be our last share for today. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So Leslie M., please read A Vision For You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning, Robin. Thank you so much for your service. I am Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.